Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Everyone, and Raven and Serenity should be on here with me, and this is Samara.
And this is Serenity.
And Raven, do you want to go into what tonight's show is going to be about?
Well, first I'd like to welcome our listeners to the Tree of Life Hour. Tonight is another episode in our Keeping Pagan Dollars Pagan campaign, and tonight we are going to be talking about the local metaphysical shops. And we're going to talk about their presence in our community, how they help the community, and how the community can help them.
All right. And we have, so far, we have two people that have called in that are shop owners. One is Holly from Mother Moon in Michigan, and the other is Tish, who is somewhere in Tennessee, I can't remember, I'm getting ready to bring them on, and she also runs Pagan Unity Festival. So we are also expecting Lady G from the Matrix to call in at some point. She did say she would probably be a few minutes late, so I'm just going to watch her to come in, but in the meantime, I'm going to bring Holly and Tish on.
Hello.
Hello,
Holly.
And Tish.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How is everybody tonight?
Well, I'm great, and I'm so pleased to make contact with you, Tish. There's a small gathering we do up here in Michigan called Annual Summer Gathering, and your book, Chasing the Rainbow, has been our guide. So thanks for all of that.
Oh, no, thank you. That's good to know. That's good to hear.
No, it's a wonderful book. Your stories are primo.
Well, that's kind of why I wrote it. I mean, just because there's no sense in trying to reinvent the wheel or to invent the wheel brand new for everybody who wants to run a festival. And I was encouraged by Isaac Bonowitz and M.R. Sellers and Dorothy Morrison to write the book. So you really kind of owe them a debt of gratitude.
Okay, I'll tell them when I see them again.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. All right, so why don't we start off? Holly, I have you listed first, so why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your shop?
Okay. I started this shop, Mother Moon, a little over 20 years ago because there had been a New Age store in town, and when they left, I was devastated. So what to do? Well, step up to the plate and create one. So I found a little teeny cheap spot, and it's one of those little holes in the wall that's just loaded with stuff. I would call it sort of a pagan general store. I'm not New Age. It's a lot witchier than a New Age store would be. I want people to create their own magic, so I have a lot of basic materials for you to craft with. It was partly my own needs that this came out of, and I've learned all the way along the line. And it's, I'll never get rich doing this, and that was never my goal. I was trying to heal myself, and I wanted to be of service to people that were on alternative paths. So I get to meet some of the most amazing people in the entire world, and I feel very blessed to be able to do this.
And I know Raven and I have both been in your shop, and it is awesome. We really loved it when we were up there in Michigan at Sagatech before we went to Chrysalis. And you have a lot of beautiful stuff and a lot of handmade stuff too.
Well, it's always nice to get things directly from the people who are making them whenever possible. You know, I mean, a lot of the candles are Jackie Smith from Coventry Creation over on the other side of the state. She started her business about the same time I started this. And, you know, I mean, my form of advertising is to go to psychic fairs and pagan events and meet other crafters and people I can get from. It's fun. but, you know, it's just what my path has been, and I feel very blessed.
Okay, and Tish, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your shop?
No, I started about the same time, about 21 years ago, and it was a weird path that collided. I thought, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a shop in Nashville, because we have a lot of tourists, that had psychic readings like the bottom of the cup does in New Orleans. And so as I started down that path, I found paganism, and that there was a explosion that happened, and my shop came out of it. So we have been through a lot of incarnations, I think. Sometimes some days we're more witchy than others. Sometimes some days we're a little more new agey than others. We do have a lot of things that you can come in and buy to help yourself. Make your own spells, make your own potions, make your own mojo bags. And that's really important. We do, and we've got jewelry, we've got books, we do readings. And probably the primary source of money that comes into my shop is from the readings that we do. But we have classes that are a year and a day. We have all kinds of, oh my gosh, we have all kinds of classes. We made not voodoo dolls, but we made dolls. We make dolls. We have teach people how to use pendulums. We have tarot classes. We have, you know, astrology classes. And then just kind of opening up meditation and all of it. So I think we kind of run the entire spectrum as far as what is available to people who are trying to find a path for spirituality. So we do okay. We've been pretty happy. Nashville hasn't burned us out yet, which is gratifying. As we sit squarely on the buckle of the Bible Belt. And it's very interesting to watch people, because we are still kind of quasi-downtown. We're about, oh, gosh, 8 blocks off the main drag of downtown where all the honky-tonks are. We're about 4 blocks from the new convention center that's being built. And we have people who either come in and they look around and they go, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Or we have people who come in and say, well, you're not witchy enough. So it just depends on what day of the week it is. I love it. I can't imagine doing anything else in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mote it be. That's great.
I think you have to be dedicated to the community in order to pull it off for as long as I have and for as long as
she has. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You have to really care about what you're doing. And I do. I care about my customers. I meet a lot of amazing people, and I love the feeling that I am able to help them improve the quality of their life on one level or another. Now, I know that sensation that you're talking about, where people will walk in and they'll either breathe deeply, let it out and sigh, like I love this, or they can't get out fast enough. This is also a tourist town, and I tell people that the store is self-cleansing. The coffee shop next to my little hole in the wall, sometimes people be, all the people were just so crabby today. And I'm like, what? I never have that. I never have that. My people are either marvelous or they're not in here.
There you go.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm not able to offer readings except as a special event and sometimes in the garden behind here, because this is only 300 square feet. And I think you have to have a little level of privacy. I do astrology by appointment, but that's about it. And this is also a very conservative area. Not Saugatuck itself, but the surrounding area is very Calvinist, very, right-wing religious. There's several, I don't know why I've escaped censure as much as I have, except that whenever someone who is filled with fear and vitriol comes in here and says, you know, they're all upset because, say, their kid, they found a Scott Cunningham book and a couple of candles in their kid's room, and they're going to confront the devil in her lair, and that would be me. I try to meet them in a very loving, open-hearted manner and start out, well, yes, I'm a parent, too. Of course you're concerned about your child, and this is what it is, and this is what it isn't. And I try to affirm their love. You know, I try to affirm what is good about them and their relationship with their child and affirm them for caring. And usually that diffuses it right then. I've never had anyone ignite a cross out front or anything, you know.
And that's good to hear. Yeah. Don't you think that if they would open-mindedly spend 5 minutes talking to you or to me or to anybody that runs a pagan shop, that maybe they wouldn't be so fearful of us, or maybe they wouldn't be so hateful toward us if they would just have time instead of running out the door?
And the first step is for me not to stiffen up with fear in response to that initial sense of being attacked. You know, keep the energy rolling rather than freezing it in that negative place.
Right. I have to work to not be angry because it just really annoys me.
Well, I have 6 planets in fire, so I have to work to not be angry, too.
I told it.
Yeah.
I think my 3 in Virgo helped me to be a little more grounded. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But all right, it's interesting to do what we do. I'm sorry. It's interesting to do what we do, I think.
And that's why we brought you on today. So to get things started, I know Holly pretty much already answered this. We were asking, Tish, I don't know if you answered this or not when you were talking because I had to check a phone line. But our first question for you all was how you got into it, and I know Holly's pretty much already answered that. But did you answer that, Tish?
I think I just had a nervous breakdown one day. It happened. No, I did. I mean, yeah, I just thought it would be a great idea to have a shop with readers, and then I found paganism, and then so there was this interesting blend that happened between the two things. So here we are. We apparently are doing okay. We've managed to be about 21 years old, so we are now of legal age. We can drink.
Well, yeah, mine will be 21 in April. That's how long. And it was to fill a void, but I have to say I was on that pagan path by that point for I'd been on it for almost 10 years. And even if you go back to my young roots, I grew up with Christianity, but it was pretty metaphysically based. My father's side of the family was Christian Scientist, and my mother was a Quaker. And they're pretty metaphysical, you know. So,
no,
I mean, I got exposed to lots of religions, but none of them fit. And then I went to a Christian college, and man, did that put me on a pagan path in a hurry, because it was like for the first time in my life I understood what creationism was really about, and I was like, ew. And I'd always had an interest in shamanism. I got hooked on Carlos Castaneda, Toltec shamanism in my teens. And I keep returning to that cyclically every, you know, few years. It hits me on some other level. So, yeah. I mean, this is for everybody, though. It's not just what I'm into.
Well, I agree. Well, and that is, we are, too. I mean, we try to accommodate. I had a bunch of little witches in earlier today, and they were buying herbs to make their stuff, and you know, they were just so excited. It's always it always kind of makes you remember why you did it. When someone have a little bunch like that come in and they're buying herbs and some candles and they're all excited and they're you know, and you kind of go, oh yeah, that's why. You know.
Yeah.
On days the furnace doesn't work and the people next door being stupid about the parking lot, and then you have those little moments that kind of make you go, oh yeah, that's, I almost forgot.
Yeah. Well, I do. I'm in my community just as you are, Tish, because when you're organizing events and trying to raise awareness, you're reaching a lot of people on a lot of levels.
That's true.
Our gathering is very small, but I work with the others that put this on. It's been about, I think we're up to 10 years, and I've been involved with Grand Rapids Pagan Pride for even longer.
Well, and you know that that means that you've broken the mold, because the average, from what I understand, the average pagan festival only lasts 5 years.
Well, it's gone through some changes.
Right.
The woman who originally started it died, and then it got shifted on to other people who promised her on her deathbed that it would keep going, and it has. But, you know, we're also trying to suck other people in to take over some of these roles and wear some of these other hats, because it just gets to be too much, you know.
Right, and it is hard. I hope that there's some people that will promise me on my deathbed that they're going to carry stuff on.
I'm going to jump in just for a second. We have Lady G from The Matrix now on with us. And Lady G, how about you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your shop. And just to get you caught up, if you can, tell us how you got started.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to say, if you lose me, my phone died. That's the best I can do.
You're here now.
Excuse me, I've also got a bad cold. I'm with Matrix, a place of change in Louisville, Kentucky. My shop has been in existence for 7 years, which I'm told in this economy sometimes is a record for a newer shop. My first shop, this is actually my third shop. I keep growing and expanding. My first shop I started because I was a Reiki master and a hypnotherapist, and I needed somewhere to practice. We also did yoga out of that shop. Then the second shop that I had, we expanded to starting some merchandise. And just before I moved, we started with herbs. But it was like anyone looking at books was bumping butts with anyone trying to get to the herbs. So we needed to move again. So our shop now, we went from under 1,000 feet to over 3,000 square feet. And we have over 300 herbs and oils, a reading area, Wi-Fi, an area in the back that is for, that we hold all events. I don't know what else to say. It's huge.
Wow.
And how did you get started, or did you already answer that?
I'm sorry?
I was just asking, how did you get started, or did you already answer that?
I answered that.
Oh, sorry. I'm running the board, too, and checking chat, so sometimes I get distracted.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, go on.
Right now, there's only two metaphysical shops in Louisville, and that's Matrix, a Place of Change, and Moonstruck. There is one over in Indiana, and that's Crescent Moon Cottage, and they've recently reopened.
Yes, and both of them were not able, I wasn't able to either get a hold of them, or they were not able to be on our show tonight, but we did invite them also, and they are wonderful people also. So, but now let's get on to...
Hi, Tish. This is Lady.
Hi, Lady. I'm waving at you because she and I are kind of neighbors. Louisville's not that far from Nashville, so we're kind of neighbors.
Yeah. I'm sorry I won't be at PUF this next year. My breathing won't warrant me walking around down there, but I'll be thinking about you all.
Miss
Yeah,
Lady D is the one that got me going.
Yeah, I'm having some major breathing issues, and walking around places sometimes is an effort. Champagne knows I was at the Hoodoo Festival with her, and she was ready to get me run home and get me her little cart to run around in.
No joke.
Yeah, I was having some major issues with my breathing then. It's a little better now, but I can't chance it again.
No, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So our next question for the panel is, what is the most surprising thing about owning a shop?
As I told Rachel earlier, I have no answer for that question. There's nothing surprising.
I'm surprised when I make money.
I'm surprised by that one, too. No,
yeah,
I guess it's probably the diversity of people, you know, because you are talking about your, you know, typical little teenage witchlings that come in all excited. And yet, I mean, I was working with a gentleman this week who is trying to use magic to, he lives in a section of the town in mid-Michigan, which has been deteriorating over town, and now he's basically got a crack house around the corner from him. And rather than just try to get away from it, he's trying to use magic to impact his environment in a positive way and, you know, get some of these children safe and make some of this shift and change so that people can get the help they need and move on with their lives. And I admire
that.
Isn't
that wonderful?
I admire the heck out of that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I think we have, I'm as I said, I'm in the Bible Belt. And I had a little girl that worked for me several summers back. And she was raised pagan. Her father was Kenyan. Her mother was an economics professor at the college. And she had been raised in Kansas, so she had not ever experienced the ethnicity of the South. And so one Saturday, there was a bunch of little old African American ladies that came in, and they came in. And they bought all kinds of herbs, and they bought all kinds of oils, and he had me mix up some stuff for them. And they went all out the door, and you know they were all happy. So she comes outside. I stepped outside to smoke a cigarette. And she came outside and she says, Can I ask you a question? Sure, she's about 16. She's about 17 years old. I said, what's your question, honey? And she said, well, those ladies that just came in here, they're not pagans, are they? And I said, no, sweetheart, they're Baptists. But they see absolutely no discrepancies between coming in here and spending money and buying spells to go home and singing in the choir on Sunday. It's all the same to them. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing to her, you know. She just couldn't get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my shop is the corner to the Catholic Church, and I get a lot of people from the Catholic Church coming over and buying incense. But it really doesn't surprise me, you know. I guess I just, because I honor 16 different paths, all the ones that come in, they really don't surprise me because it's almost like I know they're going to come.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, Catholicism at its heart is got so many aspects of paganism within it. At the very least, they all understand the importance of a good ritual.
You know. that's true.
Yeah.
All right, so one question that we had for you all was, is there anything that the community can do for you that may not involve actually making purchases at the store?
If someone's broke and they want to do me a favor, just continue to talk favorably about it as a source for things.
Thank you. That's a great idea. That's what I would have said.
Just your word of mouth as a blessing. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't expect to sell something to everybody that walks in. There are days where somebody just needs to come in and cry on my shoulder And that's okay,
oh, yeah,
too. And we will sit there with your chart, and I'll look up some transits, and we'll try to figure out what the hell's going on. That's what I've been doing for people for years. And I love them. I do. I care about my community a lot.
And Lady Deanna, you have a lot of community events that you want to get help with, correct?
I'm sorry? I couldn't.
I was saying that you have a lot of community events that people can volunteer and help out with you for, right?
No, not at Matrix. All the community events are through Pagan Community Ministries. That is not Matrix. Matrix is a retail shop, a metaphysical shop.
Correct. But you are you actually run Pagan Community Ministries also, correct?
I'm the CEO.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. But, and a lot of the events, though, since you have the space also at the shop, you're able to hold at the shop, correct?
Right. Pagan Community Ministries is able to rent the space from the shop because we have such a large space in the back. So we have all kinds of events back there, psychic fairs, classes, workshops. We have a lot of different events. We had a dumb supper back there at Stalin. We're having our PAC Yule potluck. Instead of at a restaurant, we're having it back there. So, yeah, we do a lot.
And
we do
just so, I'm sorry.
But I do really want to make clear that that stuff is not sponsored by Matrix. It is strictly Pagan Community Ministries.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that people know that you're also available through Pagan Community Ministries and that there is, like, you know, volunteer and they can help you out that way, too. I mean, even though you're calling in for the shop as a shop owner and with anything else you do, we want to make sure people know about it.
Yeah, they our biggest event recently, we fed 75 homeless for Thanksgiving and all the food was donated. All the help was volunteer that day. And in Louisville, the restaurant Dish on Market supplied us with all the chafing dishes and sterno at no charge. Plus, they did a huge thing of ribs. I mean, a restaurant can of ribs and cornbread and stuff to add to what we had. So we get people from all over was helping us with that one. And the homeless, and I've been told it'll be bigger next year. I beat last year's mark with 75 this year. I had 50 last year. The community's already told me I'll probably have 200 next year.
Wow.
My goodness.
Yeah, I wasn't able to help out this year, but last year I know I brought some food. And the year before, I don't remember if I was able to stay or not. But I know there was a nice spread the year before last, and then this year I wasn't able to help out, but I saw the pictures, and there was a lot of food.
Yeah. This is the fifth year I've sponsored this. And there's no charge at all to anyone that comes and eats.
Well, if anybody that doesn't have money wants to come and help me, they can come back in my store. Or dust.
So we have word of mouth, volunteer opportunities with other groups that the owner may be interested in, or dust or vacuum the store.
Vacuum is important. Highly underrated.
Okay. Actually, I had another question for you all. We were wondering if you all knew exactly what challenges that you might be facing that you either perceive or think that you may not, that other secular swords around you may not be facing. And it doesn't have to be,
sure,
you know, if you, yeah. But is there anything that you may perceive may be different from that you have to face that other shops around you may not?
Well, I think that we don't sell things that people have to have. Well, let me, I hate to say it. Like,
they're not necessities. They're not food.
But they are necessities.
Yeah.
For their spiritual path. But it's not food, it's not shoes, it's not coats, it's not, they can do without us
mm-hmm.
on a lot of levels. And, you know, as you see more stuff go to the net, that, you know, people buying off the web, for the kids sent to their door. So, I mean, there's definitely challenges that we face. But there's enough people who need us and know that they need us. And I think that we are sustained by that.
I absolutely think that's true. I think it's truer maybe for people like Tish and I who have endured over the course of several decades, you know. When everything crashed, I recognized that, yeah, I don't have a single thing in here you have to survive. But I'm grateful for, you know, the small purchase of candles or incense or something like
yes.
that you're doing to improve the quality of your life. And I do handle essential oils and flower essences, which can help turn somebody's health around, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, part of my journey with this was the fact that in my 20s my health was breaking down, which was ridiculous. Mm. And I turned to alternative healing methods because I figured they wouldn't make anything worse. And, you know, danged if I didn't heal a whole lot of stuff on a whole lot of levels. And I think that that's available for people. And when they're, so if somebody comes in here and says, you know, I can't afford these prescriptions, I can't afford this, that, and the other, between me and the local health food store, maybe we can help you, you know.
Right.
We'll sure try to get you on the path. And from that point of view, I think that kind of healing and the guidance that sometimes comes through the readings is very useful to people. You know, those are the things that help you be there long term, working with your community.
I agree.
Well, I am going to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, just I mean we're serious about it, and we are, and I think people recognize that. And in terms of trouble, you know, I will tell you that on the morning of 9/11, I got in the car and drove to the shop because I knew that people were going to be looking for me, that people were going to need a place to come that was
absolutely.
Safe.
Absolutely, absolutely. 9/11. Was a point where people looked at life and said, I have to have more spirituality in my life to deal with the crap that's going on in this world.
So
that was huge.
Like, even if we don't sell shoes, we still have our place.
Yep.
So I am going to send this on to a break for a few minutes. And for everyone to know, I am going to play, I'm just kind of picking one right now. I'm going to pick Kenny Cline, Pagan World. I can't remember if that's the one I played last week or not. Hopefully not. So I'm going to play that, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
I've been around this pagan world too long. I've been around this pagan world too long. I've worked with Cali, I've worked with Toth, I've worked with deers and bears and goats. I've been around this pagan world too long. Well, I've been Obot, I've been Celtic, I've been Pirate, I've been Celtic, I was Fiddler in the Blue Star Band. I've been Wiccan, I've been Druid, I've been Hindu, I share fluids with the Cloister Sisterhood of Pan. I've been around this pagan world too long. I've been around this pagan world too long. I've worked with cats, bats and zebras. I even had me a familiar amoeba. I've been around this pagan world too long. now. I'm Alexandrian, Gardnerian, Icy, and Emojian, an elder and a mega king. Well, I'm a voodoo and a hoodoo, I've shed water, C-A-W, Dianic with the wrong kind of thing. Cause I've been around this pagan world too long. There was a time, not long ago, when there were secrets you just didn't know. I long for a past that is dim, where Starhawk was just Miriam and Oberon was Tim. I've been around this pagan world too long. Oh, yeah. A pentacle, a thurible, a pentacle, a mortar, and a pestle too. I got a crystal and another crystal and another crystal, and my favorite crystal and one I don't like, and another crystal too. I've been around this pagan world too long. Oh yeah, I've been around this pagan world too long. I cleansed my aura in a ritual bath. I lost my chariot and OTO mask. I've been around this pagan world too long. Yeah, I've been around this pagan world too long.
My Mystic Gems offers a unique and unusual variety of vintage and modern jewelry items. My handcrafted creations include steampunk jewelry, crystal and elemental designs, cosplay accessories, wish wands, and beautiful bullets, my signature line of piece jewelry. My designs are perfect for all gift occasions, including holidays, birthdays, and anniversaries, as well as bridesmaids and groomsmen's gifts for weddings. I do offer custom pieces and will work with you to create something special just for you. Visit my website at mymysticgems.com to find links to both my Etsy and Artfire stores online. You can contact me at mymysticgems@gmail.com.
All right, and we are back. Did everyone make it back through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, we're here.
I'm still here.
Still here as well.
The mute in the corner, Raven speaks. And Lady D, are you still there? Lady D? Okay, we may have lost her. I know she said that her phone was down earlier, so I'm not sure if she called from her phone or not. So let's go on. Raven, do you want to ask them the next question?
I'm still here. Before my phone dies, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I know your last question has to do with sales at the shop, and right now everything at my shop, excluding items by local artists, is 10% off, except for my large crystal balls and my blown glass balls, and they're 20% off until Yule.
Okay, so you have to leave us?
I'm sorry,
did you say that you had to leave us?
No, I said my phone is dying, and I wanted to give you that sale that's going on between now and Yule in case you lose me because my phone's dying.
Okay, and just in case we lose you, for those that are going to be listening to this in the archive, where can they find you online?
MatrixAplaceOfChange.com, I think it is. Not sure. I don't sell online. I don't sell by phone. I only sell in my shop.
Okay.
And I'm on Facebook, Matrix A Place of Change on Facebook.
Cool.
And Lady, where is your shop located in Louisville for people who are interested in fishing with your stuff?
650 South Shelby Street. We're between Gray and Broadway, and the phone number is 502-589-8300. I'm open every day except Mondays.
Okay.
All right, so we have that out there now, so in case we lose Lady G. So, Raven, do you want to go on with the next question? And
My next question has to do with the economic times that we have going on. I was wondering what sort of challenges you as store owners are seeing with the downturn in the economy. What kind of changes have you all had to make in your stores? Or have you all not really noticed anything? I was just curious about that with the changes in the economy, and we hear all these stories.
I think it's really funny because liquor stores, bars, and anywhere, any kind of metaphysical or spiritual shop make more money during these economic times than any other time.
I would agree with that. We're doing great.
This is a tourist town. So it's busy in the summer and moderately okay in the spring and fall. And when it's winter, there's nothing going on here. It's kind of,
oh, yeah.
it's a little cold up there. There were some hard times, but I feel like it's eased up quite a bit, and it always could have been worse. It always could have been worse. You don't want to challenge that.
No, hey, thank you. It wasn't any worse.
Yeah, but I hung in there and I'm still here. It did definitely put some metaphysical shops in my area out.
I agree with that.
When some people come into this with unreasonable expectations too, and I think because I didn't have a lot of expectations, I just had more of a desire to live a more spiritual life, to do, give a more spiritual service in my day-to-day life. And that's what led me here. I also, quite frankly, Mother Moon, I didn't know a damn thing about the moon except that I liked it when I started it, but I was a mother. And I have a lot of kids, and at that point I had two naughty stepchildren in their adolescence, and I had three just like grammar school kids, and I couldn't work a regular job. There was always a crisis. I would have gotten canned. I had to work for myself. I needed that flexibility.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, I was happy you were there, because the first time I went up to visit my sister in Michigan in South Haven, we went there, and I had lost my moonstone ring, and I actually was able to buy one at your shop to replace it.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, one of these days I'll know who you are if you come visit your sister again.
You might know.
I probably will if I see your face.
You know, and I was up on with that same trip with, might have been a different trip with you, Samara, where I had been looking for months and months and months and months for an Odin statue, and then blah blah, I want a Mother Moon, and there it is. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we got the Celtic Tree of Life for our community center from you.
Oh, I think I'm remembering that conversation now that you're ringing my little bells there. Well, thank you.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you know, you wait long enough and the whole world walks over this little bitty doorway. I will never forget during one of my more difficult years. A couple years into this, one of my children was diagnosed with a type of pediatric cancer. Now, for myself, I do a lot of alternative medicine, but when your kid gets diagnosed, the medical community that be says, jump, you just say how high. You know, you have to work with them and you have to compromise, but I did a lot of alternatives on the side. And the store was amazing because I would get into a book and start reading about something, and the next thing I knew, somebody would come walking through the door with more information about exactly what I was trying to pursue. It happened again and again and again. There was one time I had been trying to call Wisconsin to a doctor that worked with pediatric oncology. I couldn't get a hold of him because he was on vacation. This dude in a ratty tie-dye T-shirt walked in my store, and through the course of a conversation, it was the guy I was trying to reach. It was amazing. I mean, the goddess is with me constantly. Such a small world when it comes right down to it.
Very much so, very much so. And another question I had for you ladies is specifically what sort of like items and services in your shop produced by people who are local? Because I know at Mother Moon you said that you've been buying some local candles. I know at Matrix has some art from some local artisans, and I know Fish makes these amazing candles. Kind of, if you all could kind of talk a little bit about that for us.
Well, Tish, why don't you jump in there first?
I'll jump in. I have a lot of artwork, paintings. I have a lot of handmade jewelry. Probably those are the two main things that we've got that we carry that are made by local people. I've got some beautiful glass-worked jewelry, and the paintings are all kind of different, and they're interesting. So I think that that's important, that people feel like they have a place where they can put their stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we don't seem to honor our artists as much as I feel like we ought to, so... They're usually thrilled to put their stuff in, and I'm usually thrilled to have their stuff, so it works really good. And thank you for the shameless plug on our candles. I was doing that before I walked out the door. So my evening was, I finished the last pour of the candles. I drove home talking to one of my staff members from Puff, and we were making plans, and then I came and was on the radio. So that's been the day. But we make a lot of oils. We make spell kits. We make oils. We make our candles, and that's that keeps us busy. We make the candles as we sell them as fast as we make them. So.
And I have a question. Is it? I believe it's Angela. Does she make the jewelry?
She does, and she works in house. But I have other people that we buy jewelry from who make it and bring it to us. So, we've got, which kind of makes such a nice variety because, each artist that puts together earrings or a bracelet or a necklace, it's their own vision of what they want it to be. And so even if people use the same stuff, which they don't, it all still looks different because of the artist's interpretation of what they're supposed to do. So it makes for a very nice variety. I'm really very happy.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever you put out there, no two people are ever going to put it together exactly the same way. I have several local glass artists, both stained glass and blown glass, that I carry their work in here. Right now I just got a whole bunch of cool handmade dream catchers from a Chippewa woman that I meet at a psychic fair I'm at. And she not only makes these, she does a blessing on each one before I take it here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I do a little bit of jewelry work myself, and I do make a lot of pendulums. I sew a little bit, and there's some cloaks I get from a local guy. I get other things just because the price is right. I don't have a lot of space on my tiny little walls for artwork, and I actually went to school for art, so I should do more of it myself. But
yes,
as I sometimes tell people, I have 6 kids. I'm still married to their father, and I'm lucky to just get here every day.
All right. I'm sorry.
That's good.
It's kind of hard sometimes when you can't really see each other when you're talking to each other.
Yeah, timing.
But we're actually got 10 minutes before we have to kind of bring it into our show. So I do need to take another little quick break. But before we go to break, I do want to check with you all if you all can let us know any events, your website, any specials you have going on, and if you're just a local store, people can order online or on the phone. So, Holly, why don't you go first?
Okay, I am just a local store. I am not set up to sell online. If you want to peek at the store, it's magicalmothermoon.com. To know what's going on with the store, I'm notoriously anti-technology, but I went through a shamanic recapitulation last summer, which removed some of my resistance to using the internet. Therefore, there is a Facebook fan page, and if you can find the Mother Moon in Saugatuck, Michigan, as opposed to half a dozen others scattered around, I do post on there where I'm going, and if I've gotten something, I will blog about it if I'm excited and geeked about what I just got in. And I'm on enough that I'm pretty interactive. So that's a way to get me. And you just, it's a Facebook Mother Moon page. And there's an email. If somebody sees something and they want it, you do mothermoon@wmol.com.
Great. Now, Tish, how can people find you?
Well, we have a website. It's Goddess and the Moon, www.goddessandthemoon.com. We do sell online, but we primarily have things that are unique to us. Not, you know, I don't know. Our artwork is on there, the things that are handmade by us, the spell work, candles, all those things that are unique to us we sell online. We also have a Facebook page, Goddess and the Moon. Pagan Unity Festival has its own website, which is paganunityfestival.org. We have a Facebook for Pagan Unity Festival. We've got a Facebook for the Goddess and the Moon. We are forming a church that is affiliated with the Aquarian Tabernacle out in Washington, and that's also Sanctuary of Light, so that's also, we've got a Facebook page for that. So we're there. We're out there on the web in lots of places, and that alone keeps us busy, just checking all the places where people are trying to contact us.
Yeah. All right.
I'm still with you all.
Yay!
Yeah, Matrix actually travels once a month up to Lexington, and we have a mini shop in Lexington at Chuck and Patty Starr's. They have a art gallery / Ghostbuster shop, and she has a mystical paranormal fair there once a month, and we have a mini shop there. And starting in January, I'll actually be starting to teach Wiccan classes up in Lexington. I guess the next place we're going actually is we do the Kentucky Flea Market. We do that twice a year, only Labor Day and New Year's. People look for us out there. It's 4-day shows both time, and that's the only time we do it. We take just about everything from the shop except the herbs and the oils out there. And the other thing, we have a psychic fair next weekend, the 15th and 16th, and I have readers and mediums, et cetera, in from Houston, Texas, from Lexington, from Indiana, Animal Reiki, Lucent Dreams always shows their artwork there. So we have quite a bit going, plus all the circles we do at the shop, et cetera, because we're not a coven. We do everything for the community.
All tonight. And actually, it's a little too close for us to actually take a break. So I guess we will just go ahead and close out the show. So, Raven, did you have anything you wanted to say?
As far as about this show or about...
This show, like anything to any of the people, any of the shops or anything?
Just that I would always encourage our listeners to, as much as possible, whenever you can, buy from your local pagan shops. Well, you know, if there's something that you need, try to buy local first and go that route instead of going the internet. Because as you can hear from these ladies, they do so much more at their shops than just sell goods to the community.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Tish and Rachel and Raven, Tish especially, it's been nice talking to you again. Thank you for having me on the show, Rachel. And I need to go. I'm dying. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for coming on. Bye.
Blessed be.
All right. And let's see. So to round it all up, we will. Okay. Raven, my computer is not cooperating with me. You want to talk, or Serenity, do you want to talk about next week's show?
Actually, next week is our next Heathen Perspective show. And we are going to be talking about Yule. And I will be joined by a new person, a new voice on our show. Her name is Laura Fuller, and she is in the lore program with the Trove. And she's from Michigan, and is a very awesome, very informative person. And I'm looking forward to the information that we were getting together. It's going to be really fun.
Great. And we just want to remind everyone in the Louisville area, please buy pancake breakfast tickets. The day after, it's the We Survive the End of the World Pancake Breakfast and Pajama Party. And it is Tish, come on up. We're not that far away.
I'm not real.
So the tickets are $7. It's all you can eat pancakes.
And it goes to our community center, our big community center project. The money is going to go to help make this dream become a reality.
So it's $5 of the $7 goes directly to the community center. And there is rumor of a zombie attack. And we will also have raffles. It'll be $1 per ticket or $10 for what we call a witch's dozen, which is 13. So we do need people to buy tickets, so please contact us. I know Ravenfire has put our Facebook page in the chat room, and for those of you that are not in chat, our Facebook is, just look us up at Tree of Life Community Center on Facebook, and our email is TREELIF. LOUKY at insight, INSIGHT VB.com.
And our Facebook page is facebook.com/Tree of Life, LOUKY.
And yes, the E is left out on our email. We know that will be fixed as soon as we get an official page. So is there anything, any other events that we want to talk about or anything before we get off? We have 60 seconds.
Well, I just want to thank y'all for having us on tonight.
Yes, thank you very much.
We have no events because we have Puff, and so everything is about to become all Puff all the time for the next.
Yes, we are planning on doing a show about festivals in January, and we are hoping to have you back on then.
I would love it. I would love it. Okay.
So,
thank
all
you.
All right.
So,
okay.
All right. It's been great.
Okay. Blessed right. be, ladies.
Blessed
thank
be
you so
be.
Much.
Thank you for being on.
Okay.
Blessed be.
Thank you.
All right. So this is Samara, and I am saying good night or good morning or whatever to everyone. Raven?
Good night, everyone. Be safe out there this week.
Serenity?
Good night, everyone. Be blessed in all that you do.
All right, and I am going to play a song. I'm going to play Spiral Dance, A Woman of Earth, to take us out. And Reverend Terry will be on along with Lord Don, Reverend Don Lewis.
Thank you. I think they're very happy that we're willing to buy it. But it's not what they're in business for the most part. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are miners out there, small-scale miners who deal only with the pagan community. But they often also are using much more low-tech techniques. There are people like the gentle miner who only uses stones that he can actually find that have been washed out of the earth. And I think a lot of what you find in the metaphysical community really is not the source of the problem. And so the person who asked this question, Tycho Clavius, remarked that he really was having trouble using stones in his personal practice and had made it a point to only take secondhand stones because he did not want to contribute to this problem. And I certainly think that is a noble position, but I don't think it's a practical one in the sense that I don't think this is what is causing the problem. So what I would say is that if you're concerned about mining, the metaphysical use of stones is probably the least cause of it. And what you need to look at is what the greater causes are and see if there are ways to address those issues. Addressing those issues, I think, is fairly important. And, you know, it is interesting to consider when we talk about the metaphysical uses of stones that some of these stones are becoming in short supply. I remember some years ago the stone lapis lazuli, which is historically one of the most commonly used magical stones, had become so rare that it was on the so-called endangered stones list. To the point that it was becoming extremely expensive to find it, even in small pieces, and people were using sodalite as a replacement for it, which was still fairly plentiful. However, what happened is they found a new vein of lapis lazuli, and it's not rare anymore. But it is worth noting that these things are in limited supply, and it is possible to mine all of it and have no more. And I think we do need to be conscious of that. It's also important to be conscious of the fact that as technology changes, the ways in which things can become available change as well. For example, today, there are many laboratory-grown crystals which could be used metaphysically without ever having to be mined out of anywhere. I guess we could call them domestic crystals. They are much purer as a general rule than the natural crystals, and therefore they have much less character. But they would also, in some ways, be more dependable in terms of their effects. One of the things about stones, when you use them metaphysically, is that the more striations and occlusions that they have, the more individual their character. And the fewer they have, the more archetypal their character. So the laboratory-created stones would have a very archetypal character that would be much more uniform in metaphysical work than the natural ones, as well as being perhaps less destructive to the environment. So there is a case for using them, not exclusively, but more than we do. It's also worth bearing in mind a lot of the stones we do use in metaphysics have been altered before they ever come to us. And are at least in part human-made, if only in the enhancement of their color or various other things that change their energetic dynamics. A number of those stones that people use have been altered in various ways. People often aren't aware of it. Working with the museum in Salem, I learned a lot about stones from Terry Knowlton, the stone lady, a very knowledgeable woman, who did not regard it as inappropriate to have these techniques for altering stones necessarily. She kind of looked at it as being, at least in some cases, similar to ways in which we change our own energetic natures and our own character through anything from cosmetics to education. They all change our character, and when we change the character of a stone, it could be argued we're doing the same thing. But as we look at the environment, and perhaps the need not to be mining quite so many stones, we, I think, want to look at what can be done in terms of laboratory-grown stones and in terms of other synthetic stones, which also do have metaphysical uses. People sometimes think that a, quote, man-made stone, end quote, would not be metaphysically useful, but actually they can work just as well as any other. So I see we've come to the quarter hour, so we're going to take our first break, and then we shall return, and we shall have more questions and more, hopefully, interesting conversation. So stick around, everyone, and let's see, what shall we hear in our break? Where did it go? Where did it go? I saw something that looked interesting. Shabbat. In our break, we shall hear Shabbaton and Sky Tower. That will be lovely.
The stars shone bright God is saying a lullaby. The mother laid her baby down. On that day, Lucina was that baby's name. On that day, the rising sun returns again.
During our break, we heard Sky Tower by Shabbaton and On That Day by Ruth Barrett. And I hope that you enjoyed them. I thought that On That Day was a very beautiful song. She has a lovely voice and a very very etheric style. Now, we have a question in the chat room from Wild Silverwolf. And Wild Silverwolf asks, if I do any sort of daily devotion, and elaborates, for example, candle magic prayers or other things. And if so, what are they? And actually, yes, I do. And at this point, because it's something that changes sometimes, depending on what's going on in my life, at this point, I do daily prayer and I do daily manifestation. And my prayers are directed first to spirit, then to the ancestors. And the manifestation is basically for the creation of the day ahead. At different times, I've had slightly different variations in this. The prayer usually stays the same. But there have been times when I have worked with different sorts of meditation, different sorts of manifestational techniques on a daily basis. That part of the practice changes. If you read the first, second, and third degree books, at one time or another, those different regimens that are in the books were my daily practice because they are how I was taught. And there is at least that much, again, that has yet to make it into writing. And I see the question in the chat room, where is Terry tonight? Terry is in Africa, and he is visiting with the Clan of Kepher Temple, and also is working in Africa. And Reverend Azrael remarks on having thought that he would be able to make the show even though he is in Africa, but actually the time differential is considerable, and I'm not sure what time it is in Africa, but I think it's a very awkward time, and so that's why he will not be here tonight or next week. So you're stuck with me, and the tried and true question and answer format. And after that, when he returns, the first show will be our Yule ritual, and then we shall continue with the new format, which will probably be one of constant evolution. And Reverend Azrael says, "We love you, Lord Don. That's very nice. I appreciate that." So do we have more questions? So that I can fulfill my duty as a talking head. Well, I see a comment in the chat room. I don't know if it's meant to be a question or not. It's just the word Yule. But I'm going to take that as a question about Yule. And Yule, of course, is the common pagan version of the winter solstice ceremony in the present day, common Western pagan version. And it comes from ancient Germanic roots. And Yule, as celebrated, is a conglomerate of different things, as are certainly most of the Wiccan holidays and the eclectic pagan holidays. Yule is actually the traditional word for the ceremony. It means wheel, and it has been observed for millennia at the winter solstice. There were also a number of other midwinter celebrations observed on or near the solstice, such as Saturnalia and Alban Arthen, which is the Celtic version. Saturnalia is the Roman version. There are others as well. Yule is probably the dominant form, but it incorporates parts of all of them. And the various Yule customs have very strong pagan origins, even when they've been incorporated into other religions, as is often the case. Because in many of those European countries that were subsequently dominated by Christianity, many of the old pagan customs survived, such as the Yule goat. And in Scandinavia, you were not visited by Santa Claus, you were visited by the Yule goat, who would leave you presents. In Italy, it was La Befana, who is an elderly witch who flies around the world on her broomstick giving presents to good children. And there are a couple of other variations as well. There are also even where the figure of Santa Claus, who is widely viewed as an evolution of Odin, but also an evolution of Saturn in the Mediterranean, or Kronos. But he often, particularly in Europe, has helpers who are, for example, Sylvester Clausen. They are dressed in costumes made out of natural leaves and straw and so forth, representing spirits of the earth. And there are gigantic questions suddenly appearing in the chat room. But I was going to say that most of the traditions around Santa Claus, for example, his connection with elves, also are connections to a number of pagan deities, particularly Odin, who is a ruler of elves. And his association with the North, the flying reindeer, all have very, very ancient significance. The reindeer, in England, they have the Abbot's Bromley dance, which was long associated with the Yuletide season, which included, if I remember correctly, eight sets of reindeer antlers, which were used in a processional dance. The thing about this is that reindeer have been extinct in England for well over 1,000 years, and those reindeer antlers must have been preserved from that time, speaking to how very old that that custom is. And so I'm going to read the question, and then we'll see about the answer. Wild Silver Wolf says, I've heard some people on YouTube say they are aligned with or pulled toward one element or another. Earth, air, fire, water, I've heard some add spirit to the list as well. Where does the idea of representing the elements with these things come from? And where does the idea or could I talk about the properties of these elements? And Wild Silver Wolf goes on to remark on having heard them also identified as space, energy, time, and mass. And actually, if you look in recent vlogs, you'll find that I did do one on this, possibly yesterday, possibly the day before. Before I take that, I'm going to take a second question from Atropa. And Atropa says that their partner had a question on behalf of his father, who is interested in being part of the crystal web but does not want to bury his crystal. And can he still participate and provide an access node for the crystal web? And yes, there are a couple of ways to do that. Simara remarks, could he not just get a small one and bury it? And actually, I think that is what I would recommend as the most practical way to be involved, to use the crystal that he is attached to as a remote crystal to work with the web, and to get another one that he's not attached to actually bury. But there are people who do not actually bury their crystal. When we started the web, I felt you needed to bury it. I've come to see people who have not done so and are still able to use it. So obviously it must work, but you would still need to link it into the web. So I would say you don't actually have to bury it, but I think it works better if you bury it. But what you can do, again, is you can create, you can link the crystal you don't want to bury into the web as a remote access point. And I believe there is a class at Witch School that might also be able to be found in the Witch School library pages as a booklet, the Crystal Users Crystal Web Users Manual, which talks about how to create a remote access point. And so there are definitely ways to do that. And basically what you would be doing is that you would be linking your crystal to an existing buried crystal access point or just into the web itself, and then you could use it without burying it. So the answer is yes, you can do that. Now, going back to the elements are a very widely held point of view, the idea that the universe is composed of four or five elements. There are various interpretations. The elements that we commonly use in the West, air, fire, water, and earth, are Greek in origin and have been passed down through the alchemical and hermetic movements. In Asia, the elements are different, and they include, for example, metal and wood as elements. But the thing to understand about the elements, and this is especially true, well, I think it's true everywhere, the substances we identify them with represent the elements, but are not necessarily the elements themselves. And this is a subtle point people often miss. When we talk about the elements, especially in the context of everything being composed of elements, we're talking about qualities, not substances per se. So we would say that the qualities and processes that are represented by these substances are present in everything that exists. It doesn't mean that these particular physical substances necessarily are, and this is why they can be represented in so many different ways. And, for example, they are represented commonly as air, fire, water, and earth, but they can also be represented as dawn, day, dusk, and night, as space, energy, time, and mass, as spring, fall, summer, and winter, or spring, summer, fall, and winter, and many, many different ways. This is called correspondence, but the idea is that all of these different things that correspond partake of the same qualities. Sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic are another example of a way in which the elements are sometimes represented. So in dealing with the elements, it's very important that you not that you understand we're talking about qualities and processes rather than substances. Now, there are endless ways to describe those qualities and processes. One way that I often describe them is impetus, action, reaction, and integration. And this is a cycle that I think all things basically go through during the course of their existence. And all those other correspondences are also ways of describing the same things, and we see it all around us, we see it within ourselves. And, of course, the fifth element in the Western system is spirit, which underlies all the others. Now, I believe that Wild Silver Wolf also asked me to speak to what we mean by the quality, these different qualities. So what we commonly represent as air has to do with thought, inspiration, beginnings, the impetus to do things, the start of things, the inspiration of things, the nascence of things. Fire is passion and action and manifestation and doing things in the physical world, movement and motion, volatility. Water is emotion and reaction and reception and being affected by other things. It also is love and compassion and other emotions as well. It's also frequently associated with psychic abilities, which are receptive in character. And earth is integration, understanding, wisdom, stability, and so forth. And so these are a brief rundown of the ways in which we understand the different elements. And so I hope that helps to answer the question. Now, what else would we like to discuss? Do we have another one? In talking about elements, elements also are very strongly tied to the idea of quarters. And these two things have been linked for quite a long time now, but the quarters and the elements are in their origin complementary, I would say. You can find the quarters going back significantly farther than the elements in human history. The idea of using the quarters as the guardians of sacred space has a very long history by itself. Their use in ritual in the way that we do today, I think, is more a feature of the last couple of hundred years. But, we have a link that's been posted into the chat room, I think to the vlog that I did about the elements. But when we talk about the quarters, you will find them in Egypt as the four sons of Horus or the four goddesses. who guard the tomb. You'll find the four quarters, the idea of the four quarters of the world in a lot of different systems, and you'll find, for example, they're often represented by the four winds in classical mythology. And you find in ceremonialism, you'll often find them represented by the archangels. You'll find them also represented by the four kingdoms of sylphs and salamanders and undines and gnomes. So it's a very, because it's such a very ancient idea, there are endless variations on it. And it's been very important to metaphysical thought. You'll find the elements underlying many, many different metaphysical disciplines. And Wild Silver Wolf says basically that he appreciates my answering his question on the vlog, but he thought this format would give me more time. And it's true. I think that we have gone into quite a bit more depth with it. Now, if you were to go to Asia, you would find that they commonly use five elements, which include wood and metal and earth and water and fire. I don't have them in order. And they are symbolized by the blue or green dragon, the white tiger, the I don't remember them all. We were just using those for the ICN Mystery Play a few months ago. But in the north is the tortoise, the black tortoise or the black warrior, which is a tortoise that also includes a serpent as part of its anatomy. So Flywitch has a question. And Flywitch says, Rev Don, I spend a lot of time around teenagers because I've gotten to know many of my 15-year-old daughter's friends. As I'm finishing my first degree, I am being approached more and more by these children with questions about being a pagan witch. And while I try to be cautious as to how I answer so as not to offend others' beliefs, how should I answer these questions? And personally, I think you should answer honestly. I don't see any reason that you should feel that you must hide your beliefs because of anyone else's beliefs. However, you must bear in mind that their families might not want them, depending what their background is, associating with pagans, and you want to bear that in mind and make sure you're not disrupting their friendship with your daughter by being honest. So I would try to make sure you know where things are that way, but I don't think it would be appropriate to be anything but honest. And Samara says that I think answering questions personally is fine, but teaching would be another thing, and I think I would probably have to say the same thing within that context. That answering questions about what you do is something you should not have to be afraid to do, but you must bear in mind that it might or might not provoke a negative reaction. But I don't think there's anything that could be said to be wrong with your answering questions about what you yourself do. If they're looking for instruction, then you should probably either talk to their parents, or you can always send them to Witch School, which is a public site, and therefore a very different situation. And and Reverend Azrael says, don't speak ill of their beliefs, but tell them your beliefs without being derogatory to their religion, which is absolutely always good advice. There's an old saying that you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar, and you can also lose more friends with vinegar than with honey. So always keep it very positive. And Flywood says, thank you very much, and thank you very much. And we've come to the quarter hour, so we're going to hear another song. And let's see what interesting song I can pick this time. Well, you know, I have no idea what this music is. Therefore, it's going to be an adventure. But it's by Angelica, and it's called My Angel. So how could it be bad? Here we go. Talking about Charmed and The Craft in the chat room, which allows me to compose a question, which is one that I've often been posed over the years, which is, what do I think of things like Charmed and The Craft and the way that paganism is portrayed in the media? And It's I think that the way paganism is portrayed in the media is very much a mixed bag, but it certainly could be a lot worse than it is. It certainly has been a lot worse than it is in the past. And currently is fairly decent, and I think that shows like Charmed, and even The Craft, for that matter, actually did a lot of good in terms of people's perceptions of what we are and what we do. I know a lot of people complain about them, but I often think those people don't remember how we were perceived at an earlier point. I see Karen Kelly remarks on The Good Witch, which is another media portrayal, which is very positive. And Harry Potter, of course, is the obvious big one. And Bedknobs and Broomsticks is being mentioned also, which, as someone who has a long association with a school of witchcraft, is very near and dear to my heart. Because it's about a mail order school, or the student of a mail order school. And I think that these different ones that I'm mentioning, and for that matter, Bewitched in the 60s, while in most cases they're not very close to reality, nonetheless, did a lot to break down societal prejudices. I think that Harry Potter, probably more than any of the others, but all of them have, to various extents, done a lot to create an openness to a more positive reception of magic and paganism in the modern world. Figures like Eglantine Price from Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and the sisters from Charmed and so forth, gave people positive faces. And Samantha, back in the 60s, very much gave a positive face to the idea of a witch. Which there hadn't been necessarily a lot of other positive faces to identify with. And I remember Sybil Leek saying back in late 60s, early 70s, that she loved Samantha for that reason. And I think it's absolutely true, even though there's very little similarity between the Bewitched television program and actual witchcraft. But it did do a lot to help people to understand that it wasn't necessarily what our detractors say. And I think that these other programs have done a lot of that as well. And so I think we should be a lot happier with our portrayal in the media than we often are, which isn't to say that there aren't bad portrayals, too. But, you know, we can never expect perfection. And if we really want to influence how we are portrayed, we must portray ourselves. And we can never expect other people to be perfect in their portrayal of us. Only we really know how best to portray ourselves, and therefore we must do so. It does us no good to worry about what other people show if we're not ourselves getting out there and showing who we are. Now, we also had a question from Reverend Azrael, who remarks on never having been any good with tarot. And do I have any ideas for that? And what I would say is, you know, not everybody likes tarot. It may not be your thing. It might also not be the right time in your life for it. I have known a number of people who found something that did not seem to have interest for them, such as tarot or astrology or something else. And then many years later, happened to cross it again and found that they did, in fact, have an interest in it. It just hadn't been time yet. But the other thing is, you know, just because you're pagan doesn't mean you have to deal with tarot. You don't. It is a specialty you might choose to take up or that you might not choose to take up, and there's nothing wrong with that. That was another question that we have had in the vlog in the last couple of days. A number of people have come to me during the last few months. I think there have been a total of three letters of people who felt as if the spark had gone out of their magical practice, that they'd been very, very excited and active for a while, and then weren't quite so interested, and were having trouble working up their enthusiasm. And my answer to this was, firstly, that they don't necessarily need to regard this as being a bad thing. It could be that they were so active that they need time to rest for a while and integrate the things they've learned. And I found in my own learning that I would go through these cycles of a great deal of activity followed by a period of rest and integration, which would then be followed by more activity again. So the fact that you're in a period where your ordinary life perhaps is taking more attention isn't necessarily a bad thing. The second part of my answer to that was, if you still feel like you really want to rekindle your interest right now, the best thing to do is learn something new. If you work with psychic reading, for example, find a new specialty to look into. If you're very into ritual, find some new ritual techniques. If you're more interested in historical studies, look up some new things. Nothing will rekindle your interest more than something that is new. So those are my suggestions for that. And so just because you're not interested in tarot, there's not really anything wrong with that. It also may be that, again, it might not be the right time. You might also not have found the right deck. And it's also worth bearing in mind that not all forms of card divination are tarot. And I've known some people who could never get into tarot but found reading with playing cards very interesting. And Reverend Azrael remarks on preferring necromancy for divination. And what are my thoughts on that subject? And I'd have to say that I would first need to know what you mean by necromancy. Necromancy is a word which, like a lot of other words in metaphysics, has been used in many different ways. Inherently, it merely means working with the spirits of those who have gone before, but it can be used in other ways as well. And I do a lot of work with the ancestors and with the spirits. So if that's what you mean, I think quite highly of it. If you're using it to refer to something else, I would need to know what it was. And there's also a question, what if you once could do a certain kind of reading but now cannot get that reading to come? And that could be a couple of things. It could be that you're blocking it for some reason. It could be that you have moved on from it. I found that in the process of learning clairvoyance, there were certain things that I mastered in process that I never really needed again afterwards. And even if I might have wanted to use them, they were not as useful afterwards because I had learned a better technique that superseded them. But like I say, you might be blocking it for some reason also. Now, Beth says, why don't you do something else, which actually probably is the best advice. If one kind isn't working, try something else. But if you particularly want to work with that particular technique and it's just not coming for you, I would say probably the most effective thing I would recommend is to sit down and look at all the emotions you have around that technique and look for anything that might be limiting or blocking you. And write this all down on a piece of paper. And when you find the things that are limiting or blocking it, then you want to put them on another piece of paper and burn them and send them away in a burning spell. And I think you would probably find that to be quite effective. And I see that we've come to the end of our hour. And I want to thank you for listening. It's been a very pleasant chat, and we actually had a lot of questions in this this program. I appreciate that. I hope to see you all again next week, when it will once again be just me. And then the following week, Reverend Terry will be back. So I hope you have a lovely night, and I hope you have a lovely week. And until next time, may you bless and be.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.